In another 15 days, we'll be completing one full year. And it's good for us to take stock of 2012 and see how it has gone. I want to encourage all of you brothers and sisters who are serious about your Christian life, in the next 15 days, take some time. Think how it has gone in 2012. Did you submit to God's plans and purposes? Did you fulfill all of God's will? Did you let God's work in you mightily and powerfully? Did you respond to the working of the Holy Spirit? And were you faithful in all the trials God sent across your path? Sometimes we are so busy and we don't take time, like we heard this morning, pause. Take a little time. Think how you responded to God's word in 2012. And you know, like all the companies have a balance sheet and they see whether they made profit. And if they made loss, they want to know why the company went at a loss. And that's what I want to encourage you this morning. Have a checkup and see, did it go well with me last year? Did I make spiritual progress? Or did I backslide? And if you're backslidden, it's good to ask, Lord, where did I fail you? And you know, brothers and sisters, just like in the school, they have a syllabus. For one full year, the syllabus is planned. And when you are faithful in that syllabus, then you get promoted. And then you go to the next class. Year after year, if you're faithful in your education, you finish school, you finish college, you finish post-graduation, and then you can go on. And I believe the same way, God has also planned every day, every trial for our spiritual growth. And if you have been faithful each day, in every trial, we make spiritual progress. And not only that, you know, I believe we can get a tremendous revelation of God through all the trials that God takes us through. And that will make us spiritually rich. Apostle Paul went through tremendous trials. It pleased the Lord to take him through many, many trials. But at the end of it all, you know what is, if you ask him, he got such fantastic revelation of God. He became spiritually rich that he could make others rich. And he never buckled under any trial. And each trial made him stronger. And I want to share with you this morning five or six revelations Apostle Paul got after going through many, many trials. And we can see in the light of it whether we've also got some education through all the trials that we face. For example, if I ask you, brother, how was 2012? You may say, oh brother, you don't know all the trials that I went through. Yeah? But I want to ask you, has the trials made you spiritually rich? Has the trials made you get a better revelation of God? Has the trials made you more stable and strong? And has the trials helped you to be promoted in this school of humility and obedience? Yeah, number one, revelation of Apostle Paul got in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. He didn't get this from any study. Verse 3, 2 Corinthians 1:3, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in every affliction, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. All of us like to have a big bank account. I think there's not one person who doesn't like to have a big bank account. And when the bank account is increasing, you're happy. And when the bank account is decreasing, you get a little worried. And we can ask ourselves spiritually, is your bank account increasing? We don't preach prosperity gospel, but we preach spiritual prosperity. And it is God's will to take us through many trials. And finally, at the end of the trial, to make a bank account, like we say, have a fat bank account. I hope that encourages you. We have completed 350 days in 2012. And end of 2012, our spiritual bank account must increase. Because it says, God comforts, or we can say encourages, or strengthens us in every trial. Sometimes we can become so negative. Oh, brother, it was so tough for me. Nobody understands the difficulties I faced. But you know, Apostle Paul did not say that. He said, God comforts us in every trial. And because he received so much strength, help from God, his bank account increased tremendously. He was one of the most spiritually wealthy man in the world at the time. God made him spiritually so wealthy that through all the trials, he gained something. He got some strength from God. And I believe, brothers and sisters, that's God's will for us. Let's not think God's harassing me, troubling me, taking me through all these trials, making my life miserable. And I believe our way of thinking must change. Every trial is necessary for me. Every trial is meant to make me mature. Has the Lord changed your way of thinking? Don't keep on mourning and thinking, oh, it's too much for me. And all of us, when the Lord takes us through trials, you know, many times we react in a carnal way. Lord, get me out of this. Sometimes we say, Lord, in the name of Jesus, get me out, Lord, immediately. Oh, we want to get out of the trial at the earliest. But God knows what trial to send across our paths. Like as I said, even in the school and colleges, they have a syllabus. You got to complete this. First standard, second standard, third standard. And God's ordained. We used to sing a song like that. Each trial is weighed exact and sure. Every trial's got a plan and purpose to help me. And in the trial, if I give up my will, if I humble myself, and if I react in the right way, and if I let the Lord change my way of thinking, then I become rich. Here we read, for example, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. There's a lovely expression here. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. It says, by honor and dishonor, by ill report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. And this is the verse I wanted to leave behind. As poor, yet making many rich. What a man Apostle Paul was. He didn't have much material things. Most believers are hankering after material things. God supplied all the needs of Apostle Paul, but here he says, as poor, yet making many rich. Do you feel that you are poor this morning, even materially? See, God has ordained what wealth we should have. But it is God's will that we should make others rich. What a fantastic calling, brothers and sisters, to go around making others rich. You become rich spiritually yourself, and then you can make others spiritually rich. And that is spiritual progress. That is spiritual growth. Some of us have been in the church for long. Can you say, God's made me rich? Praise the Lord, brother. Can you also say, God's helped me to make others rich? As you keep it up, keep going, brother, the same way. And that's what happened to Apostle Paul. You know, he went through much, much more than we can imagine. Affliction, hardship, beatings, imprisonments, tumults. At the end of it all, he didn't become bitter. Why did the Lord take me through all this? I want to ask you this morning, have the trials made you bitter? Or can you say, that changed my outlook, and I got a revelation of God, as God who strengthens me, that is His longing and goal. And once our outlook of God has changed, then our attitude to trials also will change. Then you don't say, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. No, God's going to give me grace in every trial. And in every trial, I'm going to receive strength from God. And that strength is not only for me. And also, God will give me grace to pass on that strength to others. What a fantastic calling God's given us, brothers and sisters. That every day, God's got a plan for you and me. And God's got a fantastic plan in sending specific trials across the paths. Oh, how wonderful God is. That He organizes many, many, many trials to strengthen us, to make us rich. And I hope that will help us to say, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That will help you to burst out in praise. Not mourn and grieve and say, why this for me? I hope that old song will go and say, thank you, Lord. Everything is planned by You. In Your wisdom, in Your sovereignty. And as I submit to God's plan, and say, Lord, You allowed this to help me to become spiritually rich. And in a short time, you can become so wealthy. And wherever you go, you can make others wealthy. And I hope, even if you have failed in 2012, I hope you will say, Lord, in 2013, I want to make it up. Lord, in 2013, I don't want to react in the same bad, stupid way I reacted. I want to react in a better way, so that I make the most of my time, so that I can cooperate with You like all the children. You know, they bunk school, they don't study, they got to repeat. And then it takes a longer time for them to complete school or college. But if you are faithful in every trial, we should be growing, brothers and sisters. And we should be able to say, now I'm cooperating with the Lord. I'm cooperating with the Holy Spirit. I'm cooperating with God's Word. He is working in me to make me what I ought to be. He's at work in me to do His will and His good pleasure. And I believe that's a new covenant testimony of a believer who can say that from now onwards, we can say, here I am, Lord. Each day I'm here to do Your will. Let my will be broken. Have Your way, Lord. Work in me. That's the first revelation Apostle Paul had of God as one who comforts him in every trial. And one more revelation Apostle Paul had in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 21. Now He, or we can say God, who establishes us with You in Christ and that anointed us is God. Brothers and sisters, have you let the Lord give you such a revelation? Can you say, it's God who establishes me? Wonderful. And it's God who anoints us. Oh, I long to see more brothers and sisters anointed. And he says, he has sealed us. He's given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. God establishes us. God anoints us. God seals us. Have you let the Holy Spirit seal you? When the Lord seals you, you know what you'll say? Like we sing in the song, now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. Not for the years. Not for the... I forget the... Not for the... years of time alone, but for eternity. Brothers and sisters, can you say boldly, now I belong to Jesus. I'm not giving myself to the devil, even... not even for a day, not even for a minute. I belong to Jesus, and He belongs to me, and He's establishing me. And you say, He's anointing me. I want to encourage you, let the Lord anoint you. And as I said often, be an anointed brother and sister in the church. And you know the other favorite verse in 1 Corinthians 15, it says, 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast and mobile, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. God's great longing is to make us establish, steady, stable, strong, immobile, anointed, and seal us. And oh, may God give you such a revelation. And number three, this is the revelation Apostle Paul had of God after going through many trials. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 14. Now thanks be to God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and makes manifest the savor or fragrance of His knowledge by us in every place. You know, as I said, either you sink under a trial, or you triumph, or you come out triumphant and saying, God, oh yes, let me in victory. And not only that, verse 15 says, we are unto God a sweet savor of fragrance of Christ. You know, brothers and sisters, in every trial we bring out a fragrance. I can see some people, they become hard. I've seen some brothers and sisters, I see there's a hardness. They say, why did God allow this trial for me? And there's such a hardness. And some people, they allowed God to humble them, and they will become humble and meek, and they grow. And not only that, they bring out a beautiful fragrance. Here, for example, you see chapter 4, verse 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8. This is the testimony of Apostle Paul. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Can you say that in 2012? Yeah, I had many troubles, but I'm not distressed. Perplexed. Maybe you didn't understand why God allowed many things in your life. But can you say I'm not in despair? Persecuted. We can't say we were persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Like the, I think the Phillips translation says, knocked down, but knocked out. Did you get knocked down in 2012? How are you like when we fall, immediately get up and you say, act as if nothing happened. Yeah, maybe you got shaken up by some trial, but can you say, well, I'm okay now, I'm steady, I got back, I'm on my feet. Knocked down, but not knocked out. I like to hear some good testimonies like that. Always bearing about in the body the dying of Jesus. The life of Jesus, that the life of Jesus might be made manifest in the body. Oh, every trial should bring out a beautiful fragrance from our lives. I want to ask you this morning, can people who know you say, there's a beautiful fragrance coming out from that brother, from that sister, despite all the trials that God sent in their lives. I praise the Lord, I've seen some brothers and sisters, even in our midst like that. I can think of a sister, for example, who went through severe trials. But I can see, at the end of it, she's lifted up. Oh, praise the Lord for such good examples. And not only that, Apostle Paul, if you asked him, oh, Apostle Paul, you went through so much, how are you? How are you feeling? He would say, oh, brother, it's all light affliction, verse 17, chapter 4, 17. That's only for a moment. But it's working for me a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. What a way to react, brothers and sisters. I think we have not had such severe trials in our life. We all got some mosquito bites here and there, as we have heard. Just small little trials. God knows that's all we can bear. And maybe in the years to come, He'll lead you higher. You know, I think of this weightlifting competition in the Olympics. You know, first they come and lift 50 kgs. And when he's able to lift 50, then they put 10 more. And then he lifts 60 kgs. And then they say, oh, put 10 more. Then 70. And then they put 10 more. And I believe that's how it is in Christian life. The Lord sees, yeah, you're able to handle this trial. Then the Lord says, okay, I'll help you to handle more. And more grace, more health. And I believe, brothers and sisters, we must take it in the right way. Don't think the Lord is trying to trouble you and make life difficult for you. Let's not think in that carnal, immature way. Remember that weightlifting, that weightlifter. He wants to create a record. He's not happy with lifting 100. The chap who lifted 100, he wants to make it 110. And that's how the Olympic record is broken. Nobody is satisfied with their existing record. And even if God's given you grace to be faithful this year, the Lord wants to increase. Say, put 10 kgs more. Can you say, yes, Lord? Like you sing this song, say, yes, Lord. Not just in the meeting. I hope when the Lord, in the time of trial, you say, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. You can trust me, Lord. I'll be faithful. Oh, I hope you bring joy to God's heart. And may every trial bring a sweet fragrance of Christ. That will bring joy to God's heart. And also that many saints can be refreshed. That people can see you. That you are a brother who's steady, who endures under trial. And it's going well. And God's hand is upon you. God's grace is upon you. And God's anointing is upon you. That you can also say, God leads me in triumph. That's number third revelation Apostle Paul got. And the fourth revelation Apostle Paul got was, we see in chapter 3. Maybe from 17. Now the Lord is a spirit. And where the spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Apostle Paul was not focusing on all the trials. Oh, he was in touch with the Holy Spirit, and he could say, God is transforming me from glory to glory. I'm taken up with the glory of Christ. And like, I believe in some of the translations written, we reflect the glory of the Lord, like in the mirror, mirror reflects. Isn't it good, brothers and sisters, that you are like a mirror that can reflect the glory of Christ? That you can say, Brother, God's changing me. Like we sing that old song, little by little and day by day, little by little in every way, my Jesus is changing me. I'm not the same as I was last year. Can you say that? I was not the same as I was in 2011. Though the picture is not so clear, my Jesus is changing me. It's wonderful. I hope God will give you such a testimony that you can say, the Holy Spirit is at work in me and He's transforming me, and there's a glory coming on my life. Glory upon glory. From glory to glory. What a fantastic life God's called us, brothers and sisters, that you can all be glorious. You don't have to be the same. And even if it did not go so well in 2012, I want to tell you, if you take the necessary corrections, God can make it good for you in 2013. And then the fifth revelation of Apostle Paul got about God. 2 Corinthians 9:8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficient in all things may abound every good work. And not only that, you know, Paul got tremendous revelations from the scriptures and about God. And Paul was so wholehearted, and Apostle Paul says he was in danger of exalting himself. And so it pleased God to give him a thorn in the flesh. And it says to buffet him. Now we don't know what is the thorn in the flesh, but Apostle Paul, God found it necessary to give him a thorn. And you can ask Apostle Paul, "Paul, why did the Lord give you a thorn in the flesh?" And he says, "Yeah, there's a purpose." He understood. He said, "Lest I should be exalted above measure." Oh, then Apostle Paul, "Thank you, Lord. You got a purpose in every trial." And brothers and sisters, don't tell me your husband or wife is your thorn. Okay? That's a very bad way of reacting. You know, all of us, we don't need a thorn. I think we need a nail, and maybe more than a nail, to keep us humble. So let's not speak in that disrespectful way. And I believe it pleases God to send different trials in our lives to keep us humble. And thank you, Lord, for this trial. Even though I can't understand, and I believe it was a very severe trial. It was not an ordinary trial. Even Apostle Paul prayed, like all of us pray, "Lord, get me out of this trial." Apostle Paul also prayed, "Lord," 3 times he prayed. But you know what God said? "Paul, you need that. My grace is sufficient for you." What fantastic revelation of Apostle Paul got, brother. Yeah, you need that thorn, Paul, but my grace is sufficient for you. And what more you need, brothers and sisters? My strength is made perfect or complete in your weakness. And so, then our attitude to the trial changes, even though we don't understand sometimes why this is happening to me and why that's happening to me. But you can say, God has sent this with a purpose. And I submit to God's plan, I understand His will, and then you react in a better way, and then you get more good grace. God who gives grace. That's the revelation of what Paul had. And if you ask me, "Brother, how is 2013 going to be?" Shall I tell you? I don't want to discourage you. 365 days of trials. I know you won't say amen to me. But can you say that 365 days of grace also? I hope you'll let amen for that. Yeah, I believe we should learn to react. I can get grace for 365 days. And God will lead me triumphant. And God will comfort me this coming year. Even if you have failed in 2012, I hope you will put the devil to shame and say, God's grace is sufficient for me. And brothers and sisters, maybe make good years of the year to come. But before that, take a look at your life and see where you didn't react properly, where you didn't react, where you reacted wrongly in the trial. And say, "Lord, help me. And Lord, give me tuition. And Lord, help me to change my way of thinking. And Lord, help me to be prepared for 2013 so that I will not waste any time. And I will bring honor and glory and praise to you. And the devil will be put a shame in my life. And so that at least in 2013 you can say, God who comforts me, God who anoints and establishes me, God who leads me in triumph, God who transforms me, God who gives me grace." I got to close. Apostle Paul goes on, he says, "God shone in our hearts." Oh, if you go and ask Apostle Paul, he'll give you what fantastic testimonies, that revelation of God he had. Oh, maybe you say, "Lord, give me a revelation, a better revelation of you in every trial, so that I can be a better brother, better sister, and be more useful to you in the days to come." And I'm not giving a New Year message. I wish you a happy New Year 2013. God bless you, brother and sister.
Just would like to read a couple of verses, then maybe Brother Ian will amplify it. I was thinking about what we heard this morning, this making progress in our spiritual life. You see, it is something like our earthly education. We enroll ourselves in schools and colleges, and we expect, and our parents expect us to make progress every year, and it is not their will that we should repeat in the same class every year. So is the will of God for us. He wants us day by day, year by year, to make progress and to do better and better and bring honor and glory to Him. We read of all the saints in Scripture. None of them ever had a cakewalk in their life. And the Christian life is not a cakewalk. It is a warfare. When we are born again, we wrestle not with flesh and blood. And you make sure in your life that when you are born again, you will not fight for your rights here on this earth. The only right that we have is to give up our right. And when we are born again, like Paul says, we wrestle not with flesh and blood, means we don't fight with human beings anymore. We are done with that. And if we do that, if we are done with fighting with flesh and blood, that is with human beings, then we can take up the battle with the devil. If we are fighting all the time with human beings, then we have nothing, we have no strength to fight the devil. And God's will is that we become warriors, we become conquerors, and we become more than conquerors day by day. And this is how God takes us through various tests and trials, and our life, tests and trials don't come to us in a, pressed and in a greater measure. It comes to every one of us, but we decide to act, or rather react differently to it. And when we also act like the others act, then we lose the glory. We are supposed to react in a godly way. And for this reason, when God allows these afflictions, He also, as we read, He gives us grace along with the afflictions. Whereas for others, it is not there. For us, we have this privilege, and God gives us this grace along with the affliction. It says in one place that in all their afflictions, He was afflicted. And it also says that God doesn't take pleasure in afflicting His people. So He is with us. He says, when you go through the fire, I'm with you. The fire will not burn you. When you go through deep waters, it will not drown you. That means God's presence is there with me. David said that, though I walk through the valley of the shadows of death, I will not fear, because Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. And what is this high places that we think about? We always think, we also sing a song, Lord, lift me up on a higher plane than I have found before. What is that higher plane that we talk about? How do we make progress and go higher and higher? What is that higher plane or higher places that we go to? It is through examination. How do I get promoted to the next class? By taking exam and see that I do well, and then only I get promoted. So sometimes, children, they feel that their mommy and daddy don't love them anymore, because for 4 or 5 years they were so snugly and, comfortably kept at home, and they were loved and fed and, pampered and all that. And one fine day they take them to school and they get horrified and they start crying. Don't know what's happening. I think mommy doesn't love me anymore, they feel. And, you leave them like that 15, 17 years later, when they look back, they are so thankful that they put them in school. Otherwise, they would be carrying bricks and, you know, sand like other slum children who were not sent to school. Aren't we thankful today that we are able to earn our living and we are doing well in our life? It's the same with God also. He takes us through all these things so that one day we become like Him and that we gain more and more of His glory. And I was thinking about this high places. What is this high places that we talk about? That is in Habakkuk is one of the minor prophets that comes before Zephaniah. Chapter 3, verse 19. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 19. It says, "The Lord is my strength, and He has made my feet like hinds' feet, and makes me walk on my high places." Here it says, this chapter ends with this verse, "And He makes me walk on my high places." Have we ever thought about this verse and see in what connection it is written? What are the high places? Just go back 2-3 verses from 17 onwards and see for yourself, what are those high places? It says, "Though the fig tree shall not blossom, and there be no fruit in the vines, though the yield of the olive should all fail, and the fields produce no food, though the flock should be cut off from the fold, and there be no cattle in the stall." To paraphrase this in today's language, it is something like, though recession comes and I lose my job, and all my bank balance, fat bank balance that we heard about, goes fat, and there is nothing, and I don't know what will be there on the dining table tomorrow morning for breakfast, and I don't know what I'll wear for next, say, wedding or whatever function, you know, and the landlord is demanding his rent and I have no money, what shall I do? Lord, I cry out to You. Only when we are in trouble, we do cry to the Lord. It is the weak man who cries to God, and it is the needy man who prays. I heard of somebody, "Why do I need God? I have everything in the world that I need." Yeah, such people don't need God, but the person who is needy, who is really in deep spiritual poverty, and he's really in need, he is the person who needs God. And he cries out, and this person, Habakkuk, he says, "Even though all these things happen to me, yet I will exult in the Lord, I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and even though all these things happen to me, I still rejoice. My joy, nobody can take it away." Jesus said, "Joy I give it to you," just on the eve of crucifixion, He said, "so that my joy, nobody can take it away from you. My joy I give it to you. It is my legacy, I'll give it to you." And just before crucifixion, He says that. And we haven't heard any human being saying that kind of words just before His execution. It's only Jesus who said, "Joy, I leave it with you. And my peace, I give it unto you, that not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Believe in God, believe also in me." God is there, and when God is there, when He is my refuge and my strength, then I shall not be moved. Then we used to sing in a song, "Each victory will help you some other to win." So when we win a victory, overcome a temptation, that is, we should not sit on those laurels of the past. We must look forward to the future with joyous expectation and confidence that the Lord will see me through, because faithful is He who has called me, and He will not dump me midway through. He will not leave me in the lurch. He will take me through. He will be with me through the end. and he who has begun a good work in me will complete it. We can conclude with that and say that the Lord is my strength, whom shall I fear? I will not be afraid what man can do, or what my boss can do, what my circumstances can do, what my owner can do, what this can do, what that can do. Nothing can do, nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Maybe I will close with that in Romans 8:38 it says, I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And verse 37, but in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. He who has loved us will also see that he will take us to where he has promised to take us. He has given us the Holy Spirit as a down payment in our heart, so that what he has begun, he will complete. So may the Lord strengthen our hearts and encourage us and help us to keep going forward. Amen.